Hi everyone, and good afternoon. My name is Kenneth Christensen. I work as a web platform architect at Intel. I also work on the Chrome and the Blink project, and I used to work on WebKit for that. So today we're going to look at the web platform and how we're bridging the gap from mobile, like from native apps to mobile apps. So first of all, we're going to look at what are the major advantages of using the web platform. We're going to look at some of the top issues today. These are what I'm talking about, the gap between mobile and native, and some of the lessons that we've learned so far. We'll also have a look at what the industry is doing to remedy some of the, to fix all of these issues. We'll introduce the Crosswalk project, and we'll have a look at the future. So the web has changed our lives. It has transformed businesses and created innovation. But the web itself has been through many transformations as well. In the beginning, we had HTML, then started the dynamic HTML, the dark ages, lots of animations, scripts, etc. Microsoft added something called XML HTTP request, and a new thing called Ajax was invented. It was possible to actually make web applications. It created new applications such as Google Maps, Gmail, etc. But all browsers worked slightly different, and that was a big issue. So, and the W3C, they were trying to figure out how we're going to make the future of HTML. Should it be HTML based on XML? What should happen? And a lot of industry leaders like Apple, Mozilla, they went together and created something called What Working Group, where they started writing a new spec, and which eventually became HTML5. So HTML5 is what everyone has on their lips today. It has really improved the web platform. There's a lot of new features, and it's possible to do a lot of nice things out of the box. But the mobile web is what we're caring about today. Everyone is moving to mobile, and a lot of people are moving to use apps and not the web. Actually, it's something like web browsing on a mobile device today is approximately 20%. So we need to fix the web for mobile if we want the web to survive. So let's look at what are some of the advantages of using the web platform. Well, originally, the good thing about web is connectivity. Everything is connected. You have something called deep linking, so you can link to a specific place in the app. Like imagine like you go on a news site and there's an article and you can actually send a direct link to that. It's also indexability, like you can have search engine that can actually index all of your applications. This is something that most native apps lack today. There's also a lot of other things that have made the web popular in recent years, things like integration with cloud services, extremely flexible layout primitives. You can basically create all kinds of different layouts using web technologies and CSS, and something called responsive design, which means that you can change the layout of your application depending on the size of the viewport, because web browsers have always been resizable windows. There's also something called a cross-platform promise. If the web, as standardized, is implemented the same way across devices and browsers, you can write one app, it's supposed to work everywhere. It's not really 100% the case, but you can get pretty far. And I think one of the most important part is deployment and distribution model. You don't have to install applications. You go to a website, it's just there, and you can update it. Like, you never think about, oh, there's a new version of Gmail. No, you just open Gmail and you have the latest version always. But there's also a big issue because there is a gap between mobile and native, and the standardization process is pretty slow. And it's kind of obvious because things have to go for standardization, so people have to agree. But there's another big problem. And the thing is that with a native app, if you install an app, you know exactly what it's doing. You don't stumble upon an app by mistake. But you do that on the web. Someone will send you a link, and you open it, and it could be like evil site. You don't know. So we have to be really careful about when we're creating web apps, like what is possible and when we're extending the platform. So now let's have a look at some of the failures that we've had on the way to try to fix the web and make it possible to write web apps. One of the big issues we have had is offline. And as most people will know, is that offline web apps, they just don't work very well today. someone implemented or came up with an idea called App Cache. It's basically a way that you can list all the resources that you want to have stored offline, so your app will work offline. But today, it depends on the device you're running it on, because on one device might use normal images, another one might want to use Retina images, so you don't want to download the same resources for everything. And as apps are dynamic in nature, you have the other problem is that you don't always know all the resources up front, because they might be generated. One of the other problems we have is basically the lack of control, that you don't have the same abilities that you have on native, such like window management, locking orientation. I want to make a game, and I don't want it to change orientation when I rotate my phone. Things like that you haven't been able to do with the web. As I said before, you don't stumble upon apps in an app store, and they're installed by default. But you do that with the web. So we have to be really careful about leaking information, like fingerprinting, so that apps or app networks can track where you are and what you're doing. And lastly, new APIs roll out very slow. People have to agree, they have to be implemented, they have to go through standardization, people come up with better ideas, everything starts over, and sometimes it can take up till years. So what we know today is that it is actually impossible to roll out new APIs as fast as native, because we want to have things standardized. We want all the different browsers and platforms to implement the same thing. So the way to solve that is to have the right layering and having all the enablers in place so people can actually try to come up or create like libraries that provide all these new features before the standardizations or the specs are ready. One of the big failures we have had with the web is coming up with a permission model, freaking out like, how can I give permission to my app to be allowed to access geolocation, to get access to my contacts? Because it's very confusing if you're into an app and it will come up with 5 pops up or 10 pops up and asking me for all kinds of things. And users, they basically just say, yes, yes, go ahead, yes, yes. And this just hasn't been done yet. There's another problem is that we always talk about the web as one platform, but platforms, they do differ. It's very different if I have a laptop, which doesn't allow me to rotate the screen. So there might be some specific platforms like a car or a TV that might need some totally different APIs that you won't find on any other platform. One of the other things we've seen is that developers are actually pretty okay with having some specialized code per platform. People, they like doing things cross-platform. They do all of the app, most of it, all the logic in one place. And then for each platform, if there is some additional features, they're okay with using those to make the application more integrated and looking better. The web platform is full of magic, and this is one of the biggest issues for developers. You don't know what happens in the engine. You just set a CSS property, and suddenly the app becomes way slower, and you have no idea why. You don't know how to debug it. It's not like writing your own application in C++, where mostly you have access, or maybe you can even find the libraries if they're open source and understand what's going on. So there's a lot of magic in the platform. And what people really want, or that's what developers have told us, is that they wanted a layered platform. They want to have some primitives that are maybe very complicated to understand, and then you have the features built on top. Just like you can imagine other platforms, you might have some very low-level APIs for accessing the GPU, then you have maybe OpenGL on top, and then maybe you have a toolkit on top. So normal people will just use the toolkit, but if you really need to do something with OpenGL, you might be able to get an expert that knows that area below. So actually getting a layered platform. There's a lot of people that's been trying to solve these issues, and they've created frameworks. So if you want to create a web app, a lot of people, they look to frameworks and they say, oh, there's Sencha, oh, there's jQuery Mobile, oh, there's App Framework. And all of them, they have one thing in common. They kind of create a whole new ecosystem on top of the web. So it means if I invest in using jQuery Mobile and then decide, yeah, it's not really working for me, I want to move to Sencha, well, then I can throw all of my code away and start all over. So we really want to have all the enablers in place to fix this. so that people can choose whatever kind of library they want and use them in the same application. That is not the case today. So we want to have a way that you can create reusable UI components just like you do on other native toolkits. So what is the focus this year? What is happening in the industry? Well, Google have been focusing a lot on mobile and web apps, and they're 100% focused on mobile performance this year. So they want to introduce proper layering in the platform, like I was talking about before, that you can explain things in the lower layer, in a higher layer by the primitives in the layer below. They also want to remove all the features, legacy features, because the engine is very, very complex. There's a lot of line of code. And a lot of this code means that people can't do all the optimization that makes this platform more attractive and faster. There's some new specs, something Google has been working on for 4 or 5 years called Web Components, where you introduce ways that you can create components, encapsulation, you can import components, something called HTML imports, etc. And they're working on that and trying to ship it so that we will see this in all major browsers in a couple of years and people can actually start using it. Another big problem is, I said, the web platform has a lot of magic. So it's obvious that if you're a browser developer, you want to make sure that all the web pages out there work very well. So you optimize your engine to have like smooth scrolling. But once in a while, if a developer wants to write a web app, he might want things to work slightly different. And they want to be in control of what happens per frame. That's what native developers do. I want to make a scrolling list, and I want to know what happens per frame. That's the only way I can get the UI and behavior that I want. So their point is that try to figure out how we can enable that, remove some of the magic when people opt in to say, hey, now I want to be in control. I want to do things my way. And lastly, and very importantly, to have predictable performance characteristics. Because the problem today is that sometimes things is fast, then it becomes slow, then it's a garbage collector that starts kicking in, and suddenly my app is not smooth anymore. If we look at one of the other companies like Apple, what is Apple doing? Well, Apple, they have a bit different view than Google. Google, they really want web apps to be the future, where Apple, they more or less, they like their own app store. And they want to have a very nice browser. Of course, a competitive browser. But they're not necessarily pushing all of these new web specs, all of new standards for making offline applications, etc. They're mostly interested in web from a browser perspective and for using for iBooks. So you can have all these magazine layout, etc. I'm from Intel, and at Intel we really believe in the web. We think it's a great thing. It has created a lot of innovation. And we want it to be possible to write web apps today, which is also part of the Tizen project. And we, of course, we want them to run very well on Intel architecture. So what are we doing? Well, we're part of the World Wide Web Consortium, which is a standardization organization behind most of the web specs. And we're working in working groups such as system applications, web application, CSS, etc. We're working on something called the manifest spec, which allows you to describe your app. Basically, like, what's its name? Should it start in portrait or landscape? What are the security things? And similar things like that. So that it's possible to go to a web page and say, save this app to my home screen. And next time I start it, it will work offline. It will start in the right orientation. Might have an orientation log if it's a game that shouldn't change orientation while playing, etc. We also work a lot of these new standardization, like I said, screen orientation logs, etc. We implement those in Chrome. So we work together with Google and Samsung on adding these new features to the platform. We're also working on the next version of Tizen called Tizen 3.0. Tizen 3.0 comes with a new web runtime, which is not any longer based on WebKit, but based on Chromium and Blink. And the presenter after me will talk a lot about that. We also want everything to work well on Android, on all kind of versions, so that people can start writing web apps today. Crosswalk is the new web runtime for Tizen. It's a runtime for web app. As I said, it's based on Chromium and Blink. It will support all the same APIs that you find in Tizen today, but also newer APIs. Some of the focus areas that we have had with Crosswalk is extending the platform, allowing you to write more native-like apps. So you have the manifest where you can describe your apps, how it should start, in which orientation. We have new APIs such as Bluetooth, raw sockets. You can lock your orientation so it doesn't change orientation. We're also working with experimental APIs. So instead of adding all these new things directly to the engine, we allow a way that people can install extension and test these things before they get standardized. And this might be very interesting for platforms like TV, where you have some specialized APIs that might not match the rest of the platform. Like you might not need those on a cell phone or in a car, but you want to have those APIs, like seeing your program listing when you're on a TV. And we're also adding some special Intel features like a 3D camera support, SIMD, which allows you to execute more operations at the same time. So let's look at the future. Let's look at what the industry is doing to fix some of these issues, some of these gaps between mobile and native applications. Before we looked at some of all the failures, I was talking about like offline, etc., and now we'll see how that is going to get solved. So offline, there's a new idea. It comes from Google. It came out of the ideas they use for Chrome apps. It's called Service Worker. It's basically a way that a website can install a small controller written in JavaScript that will be used every time you try to fetch an URL. So every time the web page tries to access an URL, like it could be movies.json to list all my movies on this on Netflix.com, for instance, it will ask the service worker, please give me that URL. And the service worker can do things like, if you're offline, it can ask itself, am I online? No, I'm not online. Okay, then generate movies.json using JavaScript and maybe only list those movies that I have downloaded. And it will also have a lot of construct that allows you to create caches easily. I have a few examples here. It's just very basic. It just shows you how a web page would install such a service worker. I have two examples here. The first one shows how you can send a response. It basically shows that you install a function like fetch. Every time you try to get a URL, it will call this function code. And here you see that it will check if the URL is the specific one, it will give a response. The other side shows that it's very easy to create your own caches. The whole idea is that these are enablers. They might be a bit low level, but application developers will come out with very nice libraries that will make all of these things very easy. Let's now look at the lack of control. Like I said before, native apps have a lot of capabilities, and how are we getting that on mobile? Well, there is something called device working group called DAP. They've released a lot of specification like battery, proximity, ambient light. We've been implementing a lot of those in Chromium. And Google are pushing some. They even had like the vibration things just already shipping on Android. And the same thing, like we're in a group called System Application Working Group together with Samsung and Mozilla and Google, where we try to standardize more, even more things and push that to the platform. As some of these things take time, and as standardization takes a long time, we try to ship some of these things before, like experimental extensions for Crosswalk, so people can try these things early. Sensitive API is a complicated thing because it's very easy to do fingerprinting, finding out who you are. For instance, like exposing things like how many cores do you have on your cell phone, together with your location, together with your screen size. Well, if people, they try to mash up all those data, they can find out that you're the same guy that went to this other website and serve you specialized ads and track you that way. This is slightly easier for installable apps, not like real web apps like on Tizen, where you can like actually package up an app because you can ask all these permissions upfront. But we're trying to find out ways how to solve that. As I said before, APIs have to go through standardization. We have to agree with different vendors. Like, we don't want to be the only one shipping an API because then it's not a standard. So we need maybe to convince Mozilla and Apple and Google as well. So as I said before, we try to roll out things as separate extensions early. To get application metadata, we're working on the manifest spec. It's a spec pushed by Intel and Mozilla. It's almost done. People are pretty okay with it. Microsoft showed that they were interested. Apple said that they were interested. Google said that they were interested. So there's a lot of different companies that have at least given us pointer on the mailing list that they think it's pretty okay. Google have even gone so far that they started implementing it. And Mozilla have also stated publicly that they are going to implement it. So that is very nice. As I said before, it allows you to show like what is the title, what is the URL it should start when I'm installing this app, what are the security policy, what is the default icon I should have on my phone, my launcher, how should the application look, should it be Chrome, should it be full screen, should it be in landscape or portrait, and a lot of other things. So, summing up, basically the web is entering a new area where web app, where it becomes possible to create native-looking apps using web technology. There's still a lot of things missing, but we're trying to get there as soon as possible. Especially, I think that the offline story is going to make a huge impact because people can actually start writing web apps that work offline, which has been a big issue so far. Working on the layered platform and having enablers, instead of coming up with a simple-to-use API for a specific use case, we'll have the enablers there so that people can create libraries on top. If some of these libraries become hugely popular and we see there's a specific way that people use a feature, well, then we might go ahead and actually standardize that and implement that in the platform. But the idea is first add the enablers, allowing people to do something called polyfilling. Polyfilling means that you implement it on top. So basically you implement the API in JavaScript directly. And that's the way that we're trying to form the web in the future. The good thing about Tizen is that we're on board. We have already decided for Tizen 3.0, we're going with a Chromium and Blink engine. We're pretty aligned with the Google point of view that web apps are very important, and this is something we should focus on. Performance is important. The layered platform is important. Web components is very important as well. We try to give developers what they need and what developers say that they need or what they're used to when they write native apps. And that way bridge the gaps between native and mobile. We also do this, all of this, through open standards and open innovations. We don't want to create a closed ecosystem. We want something that works everywhere. And if we do it right, then we'll see other people implement this. So you can write maybe 95% of your app using just open standards, and it will work on Tizen. You do a few modifications, it will work on Chromebooks, Android, etc., and Firefox OS. So that was maybe a bit quick, but I'm sure you have a lot of questions. So let's start with you. People haven't looked at permission yet because permission is difficult, so people keep postponing that. The first idea with service worker. Service worker is supposed to become this thing that will handle all kinds of different things like permissions and access to other hardware. But in the beginning, the focus is fetch. So basically, how do I get a URL? And allowing people to cache things easily. The way it works is that you install when you run the app the first time, it will install. And then you can kind of force it to reload the application when you have everything. So basically, it will install in the background. It will get all the features. And depending on how the application works, it might be able to have a button say, hey, make it work offline now so we'll go and fetch all the resources. Or maybe it just does that in the background. So when you start it next time, it will be done. It will be there. So we're still toying with some of these ideas, but we're getting the basic, the building blocks there. They should be there. Google, they will probably experiment a lot with, for instance, Google Drive. They have a lot of apps that they really want to work well offline. And then if the idea is, like I talked about, polyfilling, that people can create libraries that makes these things very easy. If they found out a specific way that you should make your app installable, like download all the resources and now it just works and tell me, well, then they will become libraries. And if there's if people do it the same way, if there's a really good solution, we'll try to standardize that and make that a permanent JavaScript API. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but the idea is to ship this year because we need it. Any other questions? Okay. Okay, so the question is that we are moving to, on with Tizen 3.0, we are moving to runtime based on Chromium and Blink. And Chromium and Blink has something called native client. What is our what do we think about that? Is that something we can use for writing like native apps? The thing is that a lot of people, they have the wrong idea about what native client really is. Native client is highly sandboxed. It has its tool chain you can write in C++. The major features you get from native client is that you can convert some libraries you already have. You have processes, or like at least you have threads, which you don't really have in JavaScript. You have workers. And today, people, they basically use native clients for two things. One thing, porting game engines, because you don't need access to additional hardware, which you don't have with native clients because it's sandboxed. And number two, for dealing with music, like with sound, because it's very can be very expensive computational device, and dealing with images. So, for instance, Google uses they use native client on the Google Plus Photos site. So, if you have Chrome, you have this extra menu called Edit, where you can apply all these kind of filters, and that's implemented using native client. But native client doesn't allow you to implement something that starts accessing your different kinds of hardware. So it's not really meant as a native app replacement. But to answer your question, we are looking at supporting native client or portable native client. So it's called Pinnacle, which means that it runs the same code run on ARM and Intel. Any additional questions? You again? Well, my best answer to that is web components. So web components is a way that Google has been working on that you can create components using web. It's a set of specs. One of them is called Shadow DOM. It allows you to use the DOM to create a lot of, like, your app using DOM, but you don't really see that as a developer. You have custom elements, so you can get an element called, like, my-element. And that might be constructed using a lot of different divs, etc., but you don't see that. The important part here is that you don't want people to have access to go inside it and change things, because if I start styling things, it might affect another component on the page. So everything is encapsulated, even the CSS. There's a spec called CSS scoping that allows you to have everything encapsulated and just allowing people to apply specific CSS. So, for instance, if you look at the WebKit or Chrome, it has something called HTML5 element, or like video. So you do a video tag, and it shows this the video, and there's a play button, a pause button, forward, backward. All of that is implemented using the DOM. So basically you have like a DOM element that is like the play button, and you can even style that with CSS, with some pseudo CSS. And this is the capabilities that we're bringing to the platform. And I think that is what we hope people start using. The good thing is that Google, they're working on a polyfill for this, so you can use it today in all kind of browsers called Polymer. And as part of that, they created these like polyfilling libraries for the features, and it created like their ideas of how they think you should use the platform on top called Polymer. So you have Polymer and Polymer platform. Mozilla, they have some kind of other ideas, so they have something called Xtac, but it's using the same polyfills. So it means that I can use components written in Polymer together with components using in Brick or Xtac from Mozilla. And that's where we want to get. Because the problem today is that you can't get things in a nice way because you use a toolkit. And how can you create tooling if all different kinds of frameworks and toolkits work differently? Then you need specialized tooling, which some provide, like Sentia. But it then it depends on the framework. Does that answer?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Crosswalk is not a browser. Crosswalk is a web runtime. It is basically how you run the web apps. And this is for Tizen 3.0, so it's not a launch product yet. That is the end goal. That is what we're trying to do. Basically, today, if you create a component using divs and then using it web component will probably become faster. Because first of all, I said there's the encapsulation. So all in the engine, like providing, like propagating events, they would know exactly what you intended to do. So you can do all kinds of shortcuts. Like styling, I changed some CSS. I know it shouldn't affect this component, so I don't need to relay out that component. So yes, there is definitely ways that this will be faster. You talked about how do we then control things really well. Because today, people that want to create components like a scrolling list, infinite scrolling list. And you want to have control what happens at every frame. So what we're doing in Chrome is that we're trying to figure out what you can do per frame. So everything is driven by something called request animation frame. So it should be v-synced with your graphics card or with display. So every time it wants to update, you get a callback. You do your things, like maybe you move the elements. And it might do layout, so we're trying to cut down layout costs in Chrome Blink to be a minimum. We're trying to make sure that garbage collecting won't trigger while you're doing an animation, so it will not be smooth. And try to basically remove all overhead. So we're talking about giving the mainframe back to developers, so the browser shouldn't do all this magic. Polymer consists of a lot of polyfills. So polyfill was this, that you implement everything on top of the Chrome platform as well as you can. So we have this called Polymer platform, which implements all kinds of different specs. And then you have Polymer UI and Polymer on top of it. So if you run Polymer in a browser that actually has these things implemented natively, then it won't use the polyfill and it will just run faster. So the idea is that you can experiment today and they can improve the platform. And when a browser like Chrome ships these specs, it will just get fast. And Chrome has basically shipped all of these specs. They have decided even to ship some of the specs where people were not 100% sure that they were correct yet. But that is a risk they have been willing to take. Yeah. It's definitely something that we're interested in exploring. There have been explorations before, like you said, can we do ahead of time compilation of code? If it's, for instance, like a packaged apps, like Crosswalk is not there yet. We need to get on pair with the current web runtime. But like things like startup time is very high on our list. We need to fix that. We're trying to look into some tricks, like you do on iOS, you get a screenshot of the applications without all the text, and then you fade in when the application starts. Because you want the application to show something before like 200 milliseconds, like 100, 200 milliseconds, otherwise you won't think it's instant. And we're trying to look into doing some of the same thing using the manifest file, where you can kind of give some screenshot. It allows you some scaling, some basic features. Because loading the engine on a cell phone, it's very, very difficult. Plus passing the HTML and showing, like doing layout and showing the first like splash screen. That's very hard to do that within 200 milliseconds with the current technology. So, but it's something that we want to fix. Any other questions? I don't think so. So thank you very much for joining me.